our subject this morning. Christ died to save sinners. I had this outline with me, and Tom asked me, "What are you going to preach?" I don't know. I've been known to change what I'm going to preach when I get in the pulpit without any notes. But I like my title of this other one, you know. True worship should create God-intoxicated people. That's what true worship should. You're so intoxicated that that's all you think about. Being one who, in my former life, I've been intoxicated. When you're intoxicated by liquor, liquor controls you. When you're intoxicated by the Word of God, it controls you. See, I've never been one that tried to persuade people or to come across that I'm a glorious saint that's never did anything wrong. And the difference between me and everybody else is that I'm honest. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Christ died to save sinners. He did not die to save good people. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed unto the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When we gather to meet with the Lord, the Spirit is gathered here, and Christ is that Spirit, so Christ is here indwelling in our midst. And if Christ is not in our midst, we need to read the Georgia Sub-Need and have a nice day, because nothing will happen. The Spirit must be here. You can be lost and want to be saved all your soul, but if the Spirit of God doesn't bear witness with your spirit, you'll remain lost. When we gather to meet with our Lord, the Spirit is gathered. God brings us out from under the lukewarm mixture of man's wisdom and tradition. You know, we tend to anything that is different than what we have done, we question it. In the book of Mark, chapter 7 and verse 7, how be it in vain do they worship me? How be it in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men? For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. We don't have to fear and work for salvation as if we ever could. We get out and we work because we love the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did for us on the cross. He died for us. For example, we have got a whole probably 15 lessons on the tabernacle. I thought about it'd be nice to have a 50-inch TV on that side and a 50-inch TV on that side. And when I'm preaching about the cup, that we have a picture of the cup in color so that you can relate to what the cup was. Now, one person said, the Lord never had a TV in his church. He never had an organ or a piano or a mic. He never had pews. You know, we got in our minds. But what we need to think about is we're living in the last days, and I personally, you know, I'm not going to be here very long. And you're not going to be here very long. But especially when you're in bad health and you're getting up in age and you feel yourself each year get a little weaker, you know your time is coming. And that's not bad. No, that's not bad. But in these last days, we need to realize that Christ died to save sinners. And our job is to reach the sinners. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, notice, in whom the God of this world, little g, have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge and glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not in us. It is God that does the leading. It is God that does the saving. But God uses men. He uses women. He uses young people to be an instrument in his hand. Isn't this administration of grace more glorious than the law? I would say absolutely. We can't do anything. We can't give enough. We can't be holy enough to be saved without Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. To this day, the veil is on the face of Israel, according to Romans 3:19 and 20. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth might be stopped. But praise God, brothers and sisters, we're not under the law. We're not under the law. We're under grace, and the grace of God hath appeared to me and you, if you're saved, that he saved us despite ourselves, that he has given us a mission, and that mission is to take the gospel to whosoever will. We don't know whose ears God's going to open up.
Amen.
We have no idea. But God said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You know why there's not a soul that can keep the law? To show you how bad this world has become. The Pope.
Yeah.
He's put his okay upon one of the vilest sins in this country. And his little tumblers down from Pope that are head of these hierarchies and these churches are trying to explain how this individual, you can't take a lie and make truth out of it. Maybe the last sermon I ever preached when if Biden gets in. But as long as I'm behind this pulpit or some other pulpit, I will call sin, sin. I will tag it and I'll lay it aside.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
Brothers and sisters, Christ died to save sinners. And you know what? I qualified. I qualified. I am a sinner, and today I am a saved sinner. And if God was to leave me this morning, I'd be out in sin this afternoon.
Amen.
Okay. No doubt in my mind.
Yep.
It's that restraining grace. Grace saved me. Grace keeps me. Grace restrains me. Grace blesses me. Praise God for the grace of God.
Amen.
In Jeremiah chapter 31, Jeremiah 31, notice here, as we look at this chapter, Jeremiah 31, verse 33 and 34, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more.
Amen.
That's what grace does for you. The Spirit of the Lord records that prophecy concerning the covenant, the ministration of grace. He records it for us in the book of Hebrews and chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Notice with me, please. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 9, verse 10. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. When God saved me that Tuesday morning going up US 25, my sins he will remember no more. He paid for them. Now my job is to serve him like I was working for my salvation. Hebrews. We see that in verses 9 and 10. But we could go on a little bit and we could see him working, blessing us. Notice Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. See, that was the difference. That the high priest would have to come every year, offer the sacrifice for our sins. Come back the next year. But Christ offered once. He'll never be crucified again. Amen. There's nothing you and I can do to be saved except believe. To believe. He tells us. Verse 12. But this man for sins forever sat down on the right hand of God. The high priest, when he went into the, he never sat down. There was no chair. No chair. He would offer the offering, but he didn't sit down. But Christ said, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he made perfect for every them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost, who is a witness to us, for after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them for those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. See, if you're a child of God, that inward man don't want to sin. That's why that when you sin, you're guilty, you feel bad, you feel awful. Amen. And if you don't feel awful, it's because you're still lost. Right. Because when Christ saves you and he comes in the Holy Spirit and lives in you, he will guide you, he will teach you. Sure. No education, that's no... You can't go to college enough to get the Word of God in your heart. The Holy Spirit puts that there. Whenever what Jesus said, is expedient that I go away? He said, it's necessary. You don't want me to go, but it's necessary that I go away. For if I go not away, the Holy Spirit won't come. But when he comes, he will lead you, teach you, guide you, motivate you. Whatever need you have, if you will just go back to the Holy Spirit that is living in you, you can do it. Every Christian ought to get up in his mind or outward. I can do all things through Christ. Who what? Yeah. When you know that Jesus Christ is in you, living, he's active, there's nothing you can't do for the Lord.
Amen.
Told you this morning, you know. Bill Ills, when he was here, Bill was not highly educated, but he would give a devotion just as old simple Bill could do. And then, Brother Barnes, I listened to him this morning. Then I rewinded and I listened to him again.
Amen.
Man blessed my heart.
Amen.
You know why he blessed my heart? He loved his church. He loved his pastor. He loved the people. I don't think Sis Henrietta, I don't think I ever told her. But after the little festival happened, you know, here, about 3 weeks later, Brother Greg came to me. He said, "Pastor, that will never happen again. No one will ever talk to you like that again."
Amen, brother.
That's all he ever said. I believed him. I believed him.
Amen.
You know what? If I'm not worth protecting, I'm not worth having.
Amen. Yeah. That's some strong
preaching. God said in verse 17, 18, as we read, he took away the law, which means was death. Because none of us can keep the law. I can't even keep the first commandment. I can't keep the second commandment. You know, we covered a little bit whether we want to admit it or not, you know. I got a 2010 pickup and according to what day it is, whether the transmission works, you know. And I was driving by and I seen this, you know, 2020 Toyota Tacoma. You know, there was two of them. One of them was silver, the other was maroon. And an evil thought came to my mind. I said, "I need one, my wife needs one." And God said, "No, you don't need either one of them." But I tell you that because when we are Christians, when we're doing the very best of that we possibly can, we see something that we want, but we really don't need it because if we got it, it would affect what we're doing. The Holy Spirit is a witness so that we know that our sins and our iniquities are remembered no more. We are under the administration of grace, not law. We in Christ are in liberty and free in his redemptive work on the cross. You know, we haven't got serious about God. Now, I don't know what, you know, I only know one person and that person told me, but there's more money spent on this silly holiday coming up at the last of this month than there is on any other holiday in the world. And they think I'm stupid because I don't do it. Well, they're right. I'm probably a little stupid, but that's not the reason I don't do it. I don't do it because it's wrong to do it.
Amen.
And yet I'll preach that. God changes us. And let me tell you, if you don't think God can change the little things, what hope you got Him changing the big things in your life?
Amen.
Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
God can take care of the little sins in my life, and God can take care of the big sins in my life, because He bought me by the precious blood of His Son. He died for me. And because He died, I will make it. God said in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl in this church that has not sinned if you're at the age of accountability. Romans chapter 3, verse 24, you know, talks about being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus redeemed. It means He bought me out of the slave market. I should be intoxicated with what the Spirit of God does with me. I should have Him on my mind. Thank Him for my home. Thank Him for my children. Thank Him for my grandchildren. Thank Him for a church to come and worship in.
Amen.
In the book of Romans, chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. God said here in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, He said, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, redeem means, you know, He bought us, He brought us out of. So, being justified freely by His grace, which is a free gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It means that somebody had to pay the price. Jesus paid it.
Yes,
every pain I would have had from the time I died throughout eternity, this is what we need to be able to wrap our mind about. If you're lost and you're dying and go to hell, you just not burn up and annihilate it. You'll burn and burn and burn throughout eternity. Said, you're trying to scare me. Don't have the words, don't have the power. But God does. God has the power to let you see, hey, I don't want to go to hell, but that's not why I want to be saved. I want to be saved so I can let everybody know that Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my reason for living. Somebody last week said, why don't that God you serve heal your wife? I said, when I get to glory, I'll ask Him. I don't know why. But you know where she finds her strength? And where I find my strength, He can stop at any time He wants to. See, because He's in charge. You know, when you understand Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, you know, what a master's image, having the righteousness of God imputed to a sinner because of faith in believing. That I'm now perfect in Christ because I believe that He died for me, He was buried for me, He's coming back for me, and nothing, nothing can happen without God permitting it. I pray for Donald Trump, I pray for his wife, I pray for his family, and nobody, no Democrat, or anybody else can keep him out of that office if it's God's will.
Amen.
every child of God that's breathing ought to vote.
Yep. Amen.
Shouldn't be ashamed who you for. All have sinned. God said in Acts chapter 16, or Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And who? In thy house. But listen to me. He saves one at a time. If I had 18 kids, you'd have to save each one of them. One at a time. A lot of people believe that because they're saved, their kids are going to be saved. That's just not true. But I tell you what is true. How I live in front of my kids, I'll answer for that.
Amen.
And that's why that when I pray, I said, God, forgive me. Forgive me. For not being the spiritual husband, the spiritual father, the spiritual friend that I could have been. See, I honestly believe that so many people say, I was saved, and it makes any difference what I do, where I go, who I associate with. You better check your temperature. Because when God saves you, it makes a difference in you.
Amen.
Yep. Our last couple points in the book of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
Right.
See, you can't do something. You can't live a certain way. You can't have a desire for something you've never heard. And you can sit here and listen to me preach 52 Sundays a year and never hear unless you have a desire to hear, unless you or the church or somebody else say, Lord, open up their ears, open their heart, open their mind, save them, Father.
Amen.
Why is that important? Because God said in verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, that's what the Pope is doing.
Yep.
He's ignorant of what God's word says. You said, oh, Brother Tony, that man is smart. He knows this, he knows this, he knows this. I mean, let me tell you, me and Clyde Hancock, who's in glory now, me and Clyde was out witnessing over Georgetown, went in this house, and we found that he was a professor at Georgetown College. And he said, I have you to know that I speak English, German. He went about 8 or 9 different languages. And Brother Clyde said, but do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Knowing every language there is wonderful, I guess. I still have a problem with English myself, but it won't save you. The only thing that will save you is the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so he says here, for they being ignorant in Romans 10:3, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves What is my responsibility as a lost person? To submit to God.
Amen.
What is my responsibility as a saved person? Submit to God. Because James said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth not is sin. Oh, I know I should be. If I just hit a dollar for every time somebody said, I know I should be. One day you're going to stand before God, lost or saved, and he's going to explain to you why you didn't. He said in verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that what? That believeth. Didn't say understand. Maybe I'm odd, but I did not understand what had happened to me that Tuesday morning. But I knew something happened. And I've never got over it.
Amen.
Turn back to Romans 9. We'll read a verse or two and we'll let you go. In the book of Romans chapter 9, verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Amen. Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Last verse we used, go up. Last verse of Romans 9. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion. Want to read that again? A stumbling block, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I can only speak for myself, church, but I believed on him. And I learned a tough lesson the first day that he revealed himself to me. They laughed at me. They made fun of me, as I said the other day. I went out to my little old gray pickup truck, got my Bible on my lunch hour, and come back in. I was going to convert all of them. And they laughed at me more. But some of you can remember Brother James Staten that used to fill in for me a lot. Remember Richmond Road now. Brother Jim brought him, by the grace of God, brought him out of an unsound church, put him in a sound church. I don't know how many people I talked to in the Lord 30 years I was there, but I know one that he brought out.